He's called the prodigal son. And even though we don't find the word prodigal in the King James Version of the Bible, and we certainly don't find the name of this young man, he's one of the most famous people in the New Testament, and perhaps in the whole Bible. And this lesson that Jesus teaches about him is a great, great story. You know, there are some passages, especially, that are so rich. There are some stories that are so meaningful and deep that no matter how many times you hear them, no matter how many times you read them, you see things that you haven't seen before. You see different angles, you learn different lessons, and you find different applications of the great truths that you find recorded in the Scriptures. So today, we're going to look again and revisit the famous story of the prodigal son. It's found in Luke chapter 15, and first of all, we're going to read verses 11 through 16. Luke 15, beginning in verse 11. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." Now, what I would like for you to do is to think about the lowly condition that this young man has gotten himself into. Think about the suffering that he's enduring now. Think about the life that he had back with his father and the life that he has now, and how that he's gone from having it all to being broke. How that he had all these friends to begin with and partied until he had blown all of his inheritance, and now he's dirt poor. He's hungry. Think about that state that he's in. And then what I would like for you to consider today is a number of things that the prodigal son did not do when he was broke and hungry. Let's think about some things that oftentimes people will do when they're in that kind of condition or when they're in a lesser state of poverty or bad times. Think about some of the things that other people have resorted to and will resort to when they're in a condition not anywhere near as bad as what the prodigal son was in. And yet, he did not stoop to that level. He did not do those things. And I believe that this shows that this young man had a good background. He had a good raising. He knew right from wrong. And even though he was doing some things that were wrong before this time, he would not go further by committing these particular acts that I'm going to describe today. I'm going to call this "What the Prodigal Son Did Not Do When He Was Broke and Hungry." First of all, he did not steal. He's broke, he's hungry, he needs food, but he does not resort to stealing. Now, Solomon said that people do not despise a man if he steals food when he's hungry. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 30. Solomon is not saying it's right for him to steal then. He's just saying that people are more understanding and they're usually more lenient with a man and sympathetic to him if he's stealing to satisfy his soul, as Solomon says, when he's hungry. But this young man that we're talking about right here, even though he is hungry, even though he was getting desperate, he would not stoop to a life of crime and a life of stealing. So you have to hand that to him. You have to compliment him there. We have to say something good about him and not just bad and negative things, because he would not resort to doing something like stealing food from somebody else, even though he was very hungry on that occasion. He had to be very hungry to even think about eating the hog's food. And that's what he was doing. He was thinking about how good it would be just to have a bite of food that the hogs were eating. Now that's being hungry, folks. That's a man who is truly hungry. And even though he is at that level, he will not stoop even lower to stealing food for himself. Number two, he did not borrow from his friends. He didn't have his friends to go to and say, "Would you loan me some money?" How could he? The terrible famine had caused a real economic depression. Everybody was in hard times. And so it wouldn't have been likely that he could have gone to his friends and say, give me some money, or talk to your parents so that they can give me some money. And besides that, folks, these people were living a sinful, fleshly lifestyle. His party friends, and that's what they were, his party friends were selfish. They were living a life of the flesh. And a life of the flesh is a very self-centered kind of life. It's not the kind of life that a person is going to live and turn right around and say, can I help you with this? Now, there are some exceptions to that. But for the most part, when people are drinking and carousing and doing that kind of thing, they have to have things for themselves. They have to have money for themselves. And so the Bible adds here that this man was in dire need and no man gave unto him. Number three, he did not sit around feeling sorry for himself. Now, some people will do that, even though they know it's their fault and they're to blame for being in the condition that they're in. There's some people that will just sit around feeling sorry for themselves. So this young man didn't do that. He didn't sit around thinking, well, you know, if my family really cared about me, they'd find me and help me. He didn't wallow in self-pity. He didn't say, I don't know what I'm going to do, and poor me. He got up, and he took whatever job he could get, and he was not too proud to feed hogs for a living. There are people today who are too proud to take a job that involves manual labor. They're too lazy for that, and they're too prideful for it, and they say, well, I'm going to do something else, and I'm above that kind of labor. This young man was not like that. He didn't feel sorry for himself, and he was not too prideful to take a job that involved that kind of work. You know, folks, if a man gets hungry enough and there's nobody there to help him, he'll take whatever job that he can get to make a living. Number four, he did not become more stubborn. He didn't get on his foolish high horse and say, well, I don't care. I'm not going to apologize to anybody. Now, there's some people like that. When they get into a bad condition or a bad situation in life, and they know it's their fault, and they know that they have wronged somebody else, they will not go to that individual and say, I'm sorry, I've made a mistake. They will not admit that they are wrong for anything. And again, that's all because of pride. There's some people that are like Pharaoh. The harder life is on them, the more stubborn they are. But the prodigal had more sense than that. The Bible says also that he did not blame his father. That's number five. He didn't get mad and say, why did my father give me that money? He knew what I'd do with it. He knew I'd go out there and blow it. Well, if he knew what I was going to do with that money and that I couldn't manage it right, why would he hand it over to me? You see, if a man is looking for an excuse, he'll find somebody to blame. But this young man is not going to be a part of that. He's not going to stoop to that. And you know where to find him in here, blaming his father for the condition that he's in. Number six, he did not blame the government. The prodigal didn't say, well, why doesn't the government do something to help people like me? Why isn't the government there for me? Now, the truth is, in the first century, if people like him had whined and protested the way that some people in our country do today, they would have been ignored at best and beaten at worst. Because the government wouldn't hear it. The government would not put up with that kind of thing. So unlike many today, this young man did not blame the government, and he did not expect the government to get him out of this condition. In other words, he did not expect a bailout from the government. Number seven, he did not go back to his father and ask for more money. The Bible does not record the prodigal son saying, well, I will arise and go to my father and say, I spent everything you gave me. I need more money. Neither the son nor his father believed in that kind of bailout. In the first place, we don't find the father being that kind of person. Now, I know that he gave him part of the inheritance to begin with, but evidently one of the reasons that the father did that was to teach this young man a lesson, because lecturing him at this point wouldn't do any good. And so he gave him that part of the inheritance, and he was going to teach him a lesson by example and by action rather than by instructing him. And in the second place, if he'd gone to his father and he'd gotten more money, what would have happened, folks? What would have happened if his father had gone to him or he'd gone to his father and said, would you give me some more money, Dad? I've run out of money here and you know there's a famine over there. What would have happened to this young man? He would have never gotten the point, would he? He would have never learned the lesson if his father had just kept giving him money. And I want you to notice, number 8, that he did not get mad at God and deny him. Now, there are many people that do. There are people that blame God for the hardships that they experience in life. Now, whether the hardship is a sickness or a family problem or a death in the family, or whether it's the kind of situation that we're talking about right here, a real financial burden and getting to the point to where you're very, very hungry. There are some people that will go through situations like that in life, and you know what they will do? They will blame God. They will say, God, why would you allow this to happen to me? Even when, yes, even when, some of those people are to blame for being in that kind of situation. Even though they know it's their fault, some people will look to God and say, why are you doing this to me, God? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? We find that in the Bible. We find in the Old Testament that some of the Israelites would complain on occasion, even though they knew that they were the ones who caused the suffering to come upon them, yet they're going to complain in the sight of God. Not this young man. The Bible does not show that he ever got mad at God, that he ever even got close to denying God. He didn't say, if God's so good, then why is he letting me go through all this? He did not say, and where are all those religious people who talk so much about helping their fellow man? Well, they're certainly not helping me. He could have gotten upset at God. He could have gotten upset at God's children because God's people weren't helping him. Well, what happens here is that he goes into a far country. He's gone into a country where God's people are not so numerous. He should have known that, and perhaps he did know that before he left. And so what we find is that this young man, in spite of his sins, and I'm not trying to downplay the fact that he did some wrong things here, but I am saying that he's not as bad as some people are when it comes to getting into a situation like this. He learned his lesson. His father allowed him to learn this lesson, and he did learn this lesson. But it took suffering all these things to get his attention, and that's what we plan to talk about tomorrow on the broadcast. So we want to close out here today, and thank you for tuning in to the broadcast, and we'll look forward to studying with you again tomorrow morning at this same time. Thank you for listening, and have a great rest of the day.